very good Friday morning out there in Radioland. Nice, clear, warm day, and I think every 5 minutes the temperature is increasing by 1 degree Celsius, which is almost 2 degrees Fahrenheit, but that's what we like about this mid-July Midwestern weather. We bring to you right now The Pastor Spot, starring Pastor Steve Whitaker, just down the road in Prospect at Community Christian Fellowship. How are you enjoying this mid-July summer weather, Pastor Steve?
Oh, I'm enjoying it quite a bit. It's been, it's felt pretty good out yesterday. There were such some cool time. You know, the last few days, one thing we've got some nice cool mornings, and then we've gotten some rather warm afternoons. But it's been great. I enjoy the weather.
Yeah, that annoying landlord gave me lawnmower duty today. So maybe you heard me outside. Yeah, that landlord, he's...
Being he's yourself.
He's something else. And anyway, well, he's very good looking, so yeah, that's okay. At least he's nice and always treats us fairly. So when I was out mowing initially, it was cool. And then I finished, you know, almost done here 45, 60 minutes later, and I'm sweating. So if I go back outside, it's probably going to be 5 degrees higher, but that's okay. We enjoyed the variety of weather, and it was pleasantly cool this evening due to the clear sky. Pastor Steve is on today and every Friday morning between about 9:13 a.m. Eastern Time and 10. If you miss a program, you can go to our website, wwgh1071.com, and listen to an encore presentation. We also bring his church service from Prospect this and every Sunday between about 12:13 p.m. and 1. And I bring you Pastor Steve. Good morning.
Well, thank you, Adam. Thank you, Adam. Don't you work too hard out there today?
I will certainly try.
Great to be here today. I am, again, Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship. We are right in Prospect, Ohio. If you come into town from the west, you will come and run right into where our church is, right in the corner where the Route 47 is closed because they are finishing the pavement, which we thought would be done and hope it'll be done soon. But we're on the corner of East Street and Water Street, and we would love to have you come and visit. We have a lot of activities for young people, old people, middle people, and we praise God and worship God there on a regular basis. It is part of who we are. We're very active in the community. We were very active at the 4th of July celebration in the park at Prospect this year, and the ladies were still having breakfast. They were actually having Christmas in July coffee this morning, out in front of the church, which we do every Friday morning from 6:30 till 9 o'clock, and this morning they had a Christmas theme, and they've done that all week. We had also the Bible study hour. It's not a study hour, but it's a kids Bible hour that was yesterday from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, and that was Christmas themed, and they actually did the nativity story, and it was a lot of fun. We've been serving the kids in town lunch every day this summer, and it's just been a real busy summer and having a really good time and enjoying it. And, you know, we just praise God for his provision and all that he does. We, again, are a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, and certainly a church that desires to serve the Lord and surrender to him more every day. I do a thing called Peace with Pastor on Tuesdays and Thursdays at different times during the year. Right now, we had it at Thursday last night, and I had 12 young men there. No girls showed up, which was kind of odd. Not necessarily. They were between camp and ball and volleyball and different things. They were all pretty much busy, but I had a great group of boys, and we had a really good conversation. And, you know, it really, when I talk to some of these young men, and young women also, I really do see great hope in our future, and they certainly have hope for their future. And I just a wonderful group of kids. You know, last weekend at the 4th of July celebration, we had it was opened up to kids to work there and work the bounce house stations and whatnot. Any kids that wanted to put in community service. And there were probably 25 youth that showed up and stayed the entire day from 1:30 in the afternoon until 8:30 at night and didn't complain and enjoyed doing that. And, you know, what a blessing it is to see that and see that we can have faith in our youth today to be the citizens of tomorrow that we need. but, you know, something that's very important that I talk about. Obviously, this is the pastor spot, so I talk from a pastor's perspective on life and situation and community. And I come from the position that many did, and many still do, that without God at the center, things aren't going to work. And it seems like many times in our country, when things are going bad, people resort to prayer. As you notice, I resort to prayer. They shouldn't resort to prayer. They should be praying continually. But and you know, they you see a lot of posts about, you know, praying to God and asking God for things. And then when things start to get better, all of a sudden that stuff goes away. And I think that's kind of the ebb and flow that we've seen with people of faith from the beginning of time. And if we could just get to that point that we had that constant relationship and that conversation with God all the time instead of just when we need something, I think that we would find that life would be a lot more fulfilling, and that things would have a tendency to be more understood easily, and our opinions, I think, would be much stronger and easily derived, because we have that influence and we're listening to God and certainly the Holy Spirit in our lives. This morning in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, I'm going to read, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God." So it says, "Therefore, we have been justified through faith," and that is through that faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death on the cross, and certainly his burial and resurrection to new life, which that payment for the sin of the world allowed us to have that access to God, because if we understand the Word of God and study the Word of God, we know that that God cannot even look on sin. And he loved us enough to send his son to open that door. You know, Bible study is very important in understanding what is meant. We can pick and we can cherry pick all day long pieces of scripture and say, well, look what that says, or this means that, or that means this. We've got to look at it as in a whole and as an entirety. I know Adam and I were having a discussion a week or so ago about, well, do you believe this about the Bible? Do you believe that about the Bible? And something that he had said, well, you certainly don't believe the part about weaving two different threads into a garment. And I want to qualify that a little bit and the whole purpose behind that, because it can be taken many ways. People have even used that to say that it supports racism. I mean, all kinds of things. But what they're really talking about is this. In the Bible time, you had wool, which is made from sheep, and you also had threads or linens, which, unlike today, we use cotton. And they did not have cotton in the Middle East. They used flax, and they made threads. So you had two different threads. You had one of wool, which was animal-based, and then you had plant-based. And you could dye. It was much easier to dye the threads. So now, interestingly enough, and this is certainly Old Testament law, and the Old Testament, many of that, when we came into the age of grace through Jesus Christ, a lot of these things were in the law that were passed. We're living in an age of grace and new life. But let me at least explain what that meant. It was interesting that people were allowed to wear a woolen skirt and a linen top. That was fine. It was just weaving the threads together. And you say, well, that just seems so silly. Why would that even be there? Well, let me explain that. Much like people see the Catholic Church today, there's a separation between the priest, the priest, or the Pope, let's just say the Pope, and certainly the people. He's looked at as almost a holy father, and there's that separation where, you know, there has to be that I'm here and you're there. And in the Old Testament, the priest was given certain things that he had to do. And certain things he had to wear and he had to dress and certain rituals that he had to do that were far different from what the people did. Well, interestingly enough, the priest, his ephod that he wore, was woven between wool and dyed linen, and they were woven together. And all that passage basically did was a separation between the priest and the people themselves. In other words, this is what the priest has in his garment. You are not to have that in your garment. So it takes study to understand and know those things, but many times we really have to dig into the Word to find out why that was there to begin with. So what I'm getting at is that we need to study the whole Word of God and to understand where it comes from. And I would encourage you to get into a church anywhere that does that, that studies the Word of God. There's several here in town. We certainly teach the Word of God and encourage you to study it. So we go on in this passage and it says, we have peace through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. So we have that access to faith through Jesus Christ. And it's the only way that we have that access to faith is through Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that sufferings produce what? Sufferings produce perseverance. You know, it's hard to what's it mean to persevere? It means to carry on, to continue, to fight the good fight, to fight, keep climbing uphill when things are difficult. And if we don't suffer, we become weak. Our legs are not strong, metaphorically. And when we suffer and we fight and we work and we gain strength to climb those mountains. And that's what happens in that suffering. And then it says, what's perseverance do? Perseverance produces character. When you're a person that has fought the good fight, you know that you can come out the other end. You know that God's there for you. You know that all things that work together well for you when you love the Lord, it produces a character that has strength, a character that has resolve, certainly a character that has peace, and consistency, a consistent character. Those are all things we're missing today. We see very little consistency. People are all over the place in their beliefs. Even individually, one person can jump from one thing to another almost immediately, it seems like. We don't see a lot of perseverance. We don't see a lot of giving and loving. We see a lot of selfishness in my way or the highway. But that faith, excuse me, I'm going to start back with not only, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that sufferings produce the perseverance. Perseverance produces the character. And character produces the hope. And then it says, hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So now we have that character producing hope, and we have that hope in God, and we know that he is going to be there for us, that we're going to spend eternity with him. And we know that, and one of the great, Christian, I want to tell you something out there. If you're struggling with where you truly are in the Lord, that's a normal thing. Satan loves to throw doubt in our path. He loves to throw doubt in our way. But let me ask you a question. Does your heart produce love? And that is we are known as Christians by our love. It's all through Scripture. That's one of the character things we have. People say, oh, you Christians are so judgmental. No, Christians are judgmental. They teach the Word of God. And the Word of God is rightly divides the Word of truth, and it judges, and we practice the Word of God, and we understand that we have to follow the Word of God. But as far and you Christians are all hypocrites. Well, yeah, of course we are. We're people, and people are hypocrites, and we sometimes believe and desire to be differently than sometimes we behave, and that's just normal fallen nature. But we're always coming back to the foot of the cross and in confession and in love and character and talking with the Lord and understanding that every day is a new day. You are going to see Christians make mistakes and fall down. Let me ask you a question. If you're not a Christian, do you make mistake? Do you sometimes not follow through with what you say you're going to do? Do you sometimes maybe say something that could be a mistruth? Or do you speak out of character or maybe in character and angrily at someone? These are things that happen in a fallen world. But we desire and we hope as Christians that we have that love and that character that comes out of all those things that we just talked about, so that we get back to our square one as soon as we can. And Christian, I would encourage you out there, I would encourage you to examine yourself, where your heart is. Examine yourself. If there's a place in your life and in your that you feel like there's just this disconnect between you and God, I would ask you to examine your heart and look and see what's standing in the way. What thing am I hanging on to that is preventing me to have that closeness with the Lord and know that what am I holding back that he's waiting on me to let go? Let go and let God love you. Let go of those things that we don't need, those things that we shouldn't be in our life. You know, so many times there's things in our life that we think we really need. But, you know, and we know in our heart, we know in our character, the Bible says we shouldn't be doing them. But we do them anyway. We find excuses. We rationalize. We can rationalize anything if we want to. But I think in our heart we know the truth. And the sad thing is we think we can't give up something because we just can't live without it, or we're not going to enjoy it, or it's going to horribly ruin our life, our social life, whatever it is. The truth is when you surrender that to the Lord, it gives you, in time especially, you grow and become better without it and think, wow, why did I ever do it? But you have to be willing to trust God. That's that faith. That's that faith to trust God. God, I'm giving this to you. I'm laying this at the foot of the cross. You paid for this. I don't need it anymore. And I need to follow you. We live in a day and age that it appears to me in most Christian culture, as we call it, instead of desiring to draw closer to God, truly closer to God, and to give up, to shed the old skin, so to speak, we seem to be in a time where we desire to get away with as much as we can and still kind of look like the world and do the things the world does and find a reason to do that. And then to get our feeling that we need, we go worship on Sunday and we have to have the most wonderful sounding music and the most wonderful sounding this. And you know what, guys? This is a very false picture of what God desires in our hearts. Don't get me wrong. I love the music and I love to sing. But I love to sing because of what it says. And I love music. But it never, never takes the place of that one time with the Lord. And when I get down to brass tacks, when we get down to where it really is my heart okay when I come to the Lord? And do we have that relationship where I can confess anything to him and he can deal with my heart and I can listen and I can hear what his spirit has to say? That is just so important. And Christian, that's where we need to be. You want to see your churches grow, Pastor? And encourage people to grow deep, not out. Now, we grow deep, but we serve out. You know, being around farming, a great part of my life, and understanding farming, sometimes in a drought, there's something that corn does. Corn, those roots grow deep, and they grow strong, and you'll have the best crop you ever had because they went through that short drought, because they grow deep. When corn grows too fast, the roots grow out and lay on the surface of the ground. You've probably seen that if you ever look at a corn plant. It looked like it spidered out on the bottom. Then when the drought comes, there's nothing for it to drink, and it dies. Or when the wind comes, it blows the whole field down. See, it's important to go through those droughts, as we talk about, that time of testing, certainly that time of suffering, so that we grow deep. And see, that's what we need to do. Pastor, we need to teach our people to grow deep in the Lord. desire what he knows and what he can instill in us. People can think out there listening to this radio program, you can think this guy's just full of it. You know, there's no way. But I'm here to tell you I'm not. And I know millions of people that would agree with me. And I know a lot of people close to me. I've seen more lives transformed from despair, from addictions, from heartache, because they said, yes, Lord. People say, well, you know, you can do that with anything. No, you can't. No, you can't. There's a lot of false Christs out there. There's a lot of false religion. But there's only one Jesus Christ. And he is who he says he was. If you think if he's anything different than what he says he was, he's a liar and he's not worth anything. But he's not a liar. He's truthful. And he desires to give his free gift of that life to you. You just got to let go of this stuff. You know, you got to decide that life with him on the short time that we spend on this earth, this short just blink of an eye that we spend on this earth, life with him is more important during that time for a life of eternity in knowing unspeakable joy and unspeakable peace and no body pain and love and everything that we can ever imagine. And, you know, this may be hard to grasp. Even for a pastor, may be hard to grasp. The most wonderful thing about it will be is the fact that we get to worship God holy and all the time when we're in heaven. Well, we think, well, that doesn't seem exciting to me because I don't worship him all the time now, and I'd rather do this, that, and the other. Trust me, when we know the true love that God has for us and who he is, we're going to desire to love and worship him all the time. But that eternity. But no, many times we say, no, I want to live my life and do what I want. Well, your life's still short. But the difference is this. You live a life full of despair, full of always grabbing the next thing, hoping things will get better. And then in the end, you look back and, you know, I got to tell you as a pastor, I've had so many people in their final moments, in their final hours, in their final days say these words to me, Pastor, I know I was put here for a purpose, but I never did it. I never found out what it was. I know God put me here for, you know why they didn't? Because they never stopped thinking of self and giving it to God. God would have gladly, at any point in their life, revealed that wonderful purpose to them. And given them reason to live and reason to hope and to share with other people and enjoy life. And so when they came to that point of their deathbed, they said, wow, I'm at peace. I answered his call. I've done what I'm supposed to. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And you pass from a broken life on earth with a broken body, with great hope that you have in Christ, and the great hope in what God is bringing you, you pass from that to an eternity with him. Or you can pass into great fear and judgment and being separated from God for eternity. When you die, I promise you, it's not all there is. That's another great study, by the way, that's out there. I think that people that study these things and understand that even in our, and people that refuse to listen to the Word of God and just believe in the scientific community. I have to laugh at that, by the way, because the original scientific community derives everything from the Bible, because the Bible and science literally go hand in hand. And we have just led to believe today that they don't. And we've led to believe a lot of things that are not true. I've told you guys before many times, I should have been born in Missouri, the show me state, because I've always been a person, you got to show me. So believe me, there's a lot of things growing up and through the years that my doubts have taken me into a point of digging. Don't let your doubts put you in a point of building a wall. Let your doubts take you to the point of digging. You know, God says that if we seek him, that he's not going to turn us away, that he's going to be there. That's all we got to do. God, you know, and confess your unbelief. God, I really struggle with believing in you. If you're there, please show me. I'm willing to do whatever you want. If you're there, just show me. And he will. And he truly will. But we have to be willing to truly desire that and to know that. And another thing we have to be willing to do is this. God, if you're real and you reveal yourself to me, I will follow you. Why would he reveal himself to you if you're not going to follow him anyway? If you're going to remain an enemy to God, why in the world would he totally reveal himself to you? He reveals himself to you because he desires to have a relationship with you. And if you don't want that relationship, why would he? So, you know, those are some things that we need to think about. But, you know, you can have that life that's fulfilled or not. And, you know, I offer this to you through the Word of God week after week, month after month, and now it's been year after year. And I know that there's people that listen and that have never made that move, that they just keep staying where they're at. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see the people that die unnecessarily because of worldly actions, things they're doing out in the world that had they not been doing that, they never would have died. And why do they do that? Because they're trying to have fun. They're trying to, many times, numb the pain. They're trying to, many times, just have a great time. I want to tell you something. I lived back in a day when I was younger, I had some of those great times. I'm looking back, they weren't so great. There's nothing like getting up on a Monday morning and being broke as you were on Friday morning when you went to work. Or spending money that you should have never spent, or saying the wrong thing to someone, or getting in a huge argument with someone that escalated and caused family issues. All these things are born out of sin. Do you ever find, isn't it interesting, that if we do things that the Bible tells us to, and to live that way, it avoids a lot of conflict. Now, we are going to have conflict with people that refuse to believe. I mean, Satan is always battling against the church and throwing accusations against the church. That's what the world does. That's what evil does. Evil wants to, whatever, understand something, whatever evil does, evil will try to project onto the righteous. So, because first of all, they understand it very well, and to build that smoke screen, they'll try to project that onto the righteous. You know, people that lie continually like to accuse other people of lying all the time. People that steal all the time are the first people to call somebody a thief. And that's just the way that goes. So those that are desiring to live for the Lord and walking with God and sharing the Word of God are many times the first people to be a target and people to say things about them that aren't true. But understand something, that one with God is a majority. God is always walking with you. And when I say that, I say, what do you mean it's a majority? Well, I can be in a room full of 100 people that don't believe and reject everything I say and have animosity towards me. But if my God is standing with me, and I know that he is, I can have great confidence going forward and great confidence in that room to know that if I got God beside me, y'all are irrelevant. I mean, come against me how you will, but I'm going to stand with my God. You can even kill me, and I'm going to stand with my God, and he's going to stand with me, and he's going to give me that wonderful life in eternity. You know, what a wonderful thing to hope for. Why aren't we teaching hope? It's just such a crazy world right now. The very people will say, oh, how can you believe that stuff? That's just foolishness. It's ignorance. It's hocus pocus. These very same people will believe in all kinds of bizarre things that are supernatural. And I'm like, wait a minute, you believe in the evil side of things. Can you not maybe think for a minute to believe in the good side of things? Why are you believing? So you see what I mean. I'm telling you the truth, and I read this stuff this morning. Let me read something. Go on. Chapter 6, or verse 6 of chapter 5. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. We had no power. We were broken in sin. We weren't looking to God. And what did Jesus Christ do? He loved us so much that he came and died for us. Why would he have to die for us? Because somebody had to pay for that sin, and God said so. Someone had to pay for the sin of the world and the rejection of God. And Jesus said, I'll do it. And he was the only one that could be pure and righteous enough to pay for that with his life. And he did. You see, people say, well, why would he have to die? Because in God's eyes, our sin in rejecting him is worthy of death. But rather than us dying, he gave us opportunity to love him, to trust him, and let Christ have that substitutionary death for us. Could you imagine that if you were sentenced to death and someone stepped up and said, please spare their life, I'll die for them? Would you ever stop thanking that person and just holding them up? You'd have pictures of them in your house. Well, Jesus Christ died for you so that you wouldn't have to. How do you react to him today? Are you going to surrender your life to him? Are you going to say, you know what, Jesus, yes, you're willing to die for me, I'll follow you all day long? Are we going to do that? Or are we going to say, I don't care? Very rarely will anyone die for the righteous man or a good person. Most people won't die for a good person. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us, that and while we were yet sinners, he died for us. We weren't some special people that deserved to have someone die for us. Since we've now been justified by his blood, and how much more, we're saved from God's wrath through him. You know what wrath is? Well, it's his anger and punishment. For if we then were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have now received the reconciliation. So we enjoy Christ. We enjoy and love Christ because he reconciled us. Do you know what it means to reconcile a relationship? Certainly. Say you're a husband and wife and you're splitting up and you're divorced or getting a divorce and things are a mess, and someone comes together and pulls you back together and explain and gets you to sit down and have counseling, and then you become reconciled and become one again. Christ reconciled us with God. It was Christ's substitutionary death and his love for us that reconciled us and brought us back to God. But see, the thing is, we've got to believe and accept that. And it doesn't mean, it's not just saying that you know, I believe it as in an act that happened. Of course we have to do that. But what it means is, I believe and I follow you. I mean, if you're going to pay for my sin, I'm going to reject it, to reject sin. And I'm going to thank you and praise you for taking that out of my life, for paying for all of it. Not just what I've done, but what I will do. From now on, it's paid for. He can't take us out of his hand. You're there. Wow, I want to live for that, for him. Don't you want to live for him? Of course you do. Why wouldn't you? Why do we keep following the empty? It makes no sense to me. Because we're going to die empty. Because that's what happens. It's a tough time. It's a tough time that we live that many people aren't even taught this. It's a tough time that the opportunity's not even there. But I think in a lot of ways the opportunity's coming back. I'm seeing more and more, I don't know if you guys are at all familiar with the timeout program. It is a program, there are several of them out there. One of them that is very, very, very active in Central Ohio is LifeWise Academy, which was kind of ramrodded and started by Joel Penton. Joel Penton is a former Ohio State football player who actually got the humanitarian Heisman in the United States for his act of kindness and good deeds in the community, which is a huge award to me. There's been a lot of guys get the Heisman for their athletics that kind of turned into a flop, but Joel's done some wonderful things. And let me explain a little bit about this timeout and what it is. There was a law enacted back in the late 50s, believe it or not, that said if they were going to start beginning to teach secular views in science and in the world and in history in the schools, that they would have to give somewhat of an equal time to teach religion and faith. And because of that, students are allowed to, in this country, to be out of school a certain period of time during the week, a couple other hours a week, to learn about faith, to learn about creation, to learn about the Word of God. And believe it or not, the schools have to conform to it. Well, this is really, this movement has really been growing, and it's about time. It's only been on the books forever. And many, many schools, and even our area, are now allowing it to come forth. I mean, it has to be well organized. It has to be separate from the school. They actually have to leave the school grounds. It has to be off school property. And basically, the kids, once a week, come off school grounds that are taught for a period and brought back. So it has to be something close and in proximity. But it's been working extremely well. Matter of fact, all the schools in Wyandotte County are doing it. We have a few in Marion. We certainly have some in Delaware. Franklin County, there's a lot of them. And it's just a wonderful program. It gives your kids that option. Why shouldn't they have that option? If you're going to teach them there's no God and everything evolved from nothing, how about... How about the intelligent design side of things, where we teach them there is a God, and this is how it happened, and this is, and give them that opportunity? I've heard people say to me, Pastor, I want my kids to make up their own mind. I'm not going to put them in church. They have no chance of making up their own mind. Their mind is being placed for them as they grow up through school and learn nothing but one side of the equation, which, by the way, is not true, and it never was true. It never will be true. It's so full of holes it isn't funny. A lot of conjecture. A lot of things are plugged in to fill the blanks, and we're told to believe these things. The science that shows that we have a young Earth, the science that leans towards a creation side of things. The educational community has shunned those people, those good solid scientists. They can't get grants. It's just a sad thing. And once again, the truth is out there, and I'm not telling you that you have to believe something. I'm telling you that you need to see both sides of the equation and weigh the evidence, and that's what you need to do. And for someone to say that you don't have any right to hear that other side, it, to me, is just what I would call mental bully, because we learn by looking at two different things or three different things or four different things and coming to a conclusion. Well, I will come to the conclusion that if you study and truly desire to know the truth, not to desire what you feel like you want it to be, you will come down on the side of what Scripture says every time. Do you know that throughout the years, that archaeologists have used the Bible to find so many digs? And a matter of fact, I was just reading this week that they in excavating Hezekiah's palace, they found something that referred back to the Word of God that everyone said, well, that never happened. And they've, you know, these finds happen continually over and over again. And it's kind of neat when we hear them. You're not going to hear them on the national news. It just ain't going to happen because they fall down on the secular side of those things. But it's kind of neat when they find out. And, you know, these are reputable science people that work in science hard their entire lives. And what a blessing it is to see that. But, you know, we have to have that opportunity to know the truth. I don't understand, parents, when the odds of, we live in such a tough world, and when the odds of your kids falling into something that you can't reel them back from, drug addiction, there's a lot of addictions out there, a lot of bad things out there. But when why wouldn't you give them the opportunity to have something more solid foundation to put their life on than what the world has to offer? You know, are the rates in Sunday school in this country of parents saying, you know what, my kids need to be there and learn what's right and wrong and learn what they should do, and they need to be around other friends that learn it and know it. They don't bring them to church. It's kind of like, you know, this is just a big game that, you know, it is, dare I say, a crapshoot? I mean, we just throw it out there and they make it or they don't. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to raise our children and love our children and to put our best foot forward and tell them, you're going to put your best foot forward, and yes, you are going to do this. Oh, I can't force my kids to go to church. They'll just hate it. Well, they don't hate baseball, and you don't let them miss a practice. You understand? It's all your attitude towards it. If you have the same attitude and excitement towards your kids coming and be growing up into a good, God-fearing, loving person and loving other people and being well-rounded, if you were excited about that and knew that we could come and learn and grow together as you are about baseball, they would be excited about it and coming to it. But, you know, when church is drudgery to you, how can you expect it not to be drudgery to your kids? When it's more fun, you know, yeah, baseball, softball, basketball, they all produce character, I know. But I'm here to tell you that this is what builds true character. Folks, I was at a ball game a couple weeks ago where people were ejected, yelling, cussing at the ump, screaming the F-bomb in a crowd full of... These kids were 7, 8, and 9-year-old kids playing ball. Is that building character? What's going on with that? I got to tell you something. I've been in church a lot of years, and I'm yet to hear people jumping up and down and screaming the F-bomb and threatening to whip somebody's you-know-what in the service because they disagree with something. You know, let's build true character. Let's have them in a place where they can learn it. You know, the church, we not only have Sunday school. We have a time during the worship hour where the kids have a children's church. We have Team Kid during the week that they can come to. We have, there's so many things to help kids build character. I do with a pizza with Pastor. We have youth group. We have all these things. So where are the kids? We have kids there, don't get me wrong. But where are your kids? What are your kids doing? Are they playing video games? Are they watching something on TV that's building their character? I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing on TV that'll build character. Nothing. I've never found a video game that'll build character. Have you? No, of course not. But that's more important than taking... Well, I know kids that have gone to church their whole life and ended up being blah, blah. Yeah, cherry pick them. Go right ahead. Because that's what you're doing. It's just like the people that pull a verse out of the Bible, out of context, and say, what about this and what about that? I'm asking you to use your brain. I'm asking you to use common sense. Are they better off or are they not? And I think you know the answer to that. You know, if this is something that you have been that you detest, maybe it is. I desire that you find out why. Is there someone in your background? You know, I've heard so many stories about, well, I grew up in a house and my dad was so religious, but he was the biggest hypocrite on earth. Does that change the fact of what it is? Huh? How many people in life do you know? How many bosses at work are the experts that don't really know anything? Or they tell you to do things one way when they do it the opposite way. That is the nature of people. People will let you down. So sure, you're going to have sometimes a dad that was one way at church and a different way at home and completely different. Why not? That's what people do. I don't desire that. You don't want it to be. But does that mean that you have to be that way? Does that mean, how about this? My dad was the biggest hypocrite on earth when it came to church, so I'm going to desire not to be. Not to be not a Christian, but be that Christian that's not the hypocrite. How about that? I'm going to desire to be who I say I am and live that way. Let my life be a walking testimony. I've heard men say before about their sons, and it works across with mothers and daughters too. How do I raise my son to know and have the character that he should? What should I do? I tell him, just live. Live your life right. Do what's right. Because he's watching you anyway. You're teaching him whether you know it or not. Because he's watching you and what you do. And that's where the learning's coming from. We learn by example. We teach by example. So are we going to teach by example? Well, what are you teaching? Ask yourself that. Well, I don't want my son to grow up to be a drunk. Well, you're a drunk. What do you think the odds are here? You know, I don't want my daughter to grow up and jump from man to man to man to man to man. Well, guess what? You're doing that. What do you expect her to do? I don't want my son to grow up and go through women like you know, one after another. Well, are you doing that? You know the pain that it's caused. You see, that's the whole point. Are we going to do what we say that we're going to do and do what's right, or what we should do, or are we just going to keep living and living and living and let this generational curse follow us? We got to answer that question real quickly. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that our sufferings produce perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. Hope that does not disappoint us. Wow. Those are some great words. Hey, read that again. It's in, if you want to, it's in Romans chapter 5. If you'd read there, praise God for you in this day. And come visit us at Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. You can reach me at 740-494-2222. We're also at prospectccf.com. Our service times are, we have a Sunday school hour at 9:30, a teaching hour. And then we have our worship service is at 10:30. And if you come to those, we'll let you know when the rest of the things are going on during the week. Anyway, I thank you guys for your time. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask for safety for this day. We thank you for your love for us. And Lord, that you would work on our lives, you would open our heart to be who you would desire us to be. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Pastor Steve. Great program as always. We learned something. Food for thought. Questions to ask. We invite people to listen to the Community Christian Fellowship broadcast on Sunday about 12:15 p.m. until 1. Adam here, inviting you to stay tuned because our very own interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott Spears, returns to the microphone in about 14 minutes. Have a great weekend, everyone.